What's up, guys? Welcome to Just So We're Clear, a podcast brought to you straight out of Singapore with your host, Marissa Tru, and myself, Hanley Hofer. Now, if you've listened to us before, well, you know the deal. But if you're new here, well, hey, welcome.
So on this show, we cover pretty much everything to do with modern life. Female empowerment, sex, mental health, finances, you name it, we do it in the most uncut way possible.
Mm-hmm. So grab a coffee, maybe even a glass of wine.
No, definitely some wine.
Light a scented candle.
Or maybe you're at the gym or you're cooking your dinner. But consider this next hour your time to feel like you're not alone. Because trust us,
we get it. It's Just So We're Clear. Hey guys, it's been a minute. And for that, I gotta say, I'm sorry. but the distance has not only made the heart grown fonder, we've definitely missed you, but it's also given us ample time to rack up some life experience and talk to you about some real things that's been going on.
Where do we even begin?
Okay, let's begin how we always begin. Let's do a little bit of a vibe check.
Vibe check.
How are you? Where are you at? Where's your head at?
Psychologically, I'm good. I'm all right. Physically, I'm struggling. I'm definitely getting sick. I can feel myself losing my voice, which is very bad when you use your voice for your profession a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like the little like raspy, deep, bassy notes that it's bringing
to
the
table. You know what? It's very Dua Lipa.
I love her.
I fucking love Dua Lipa.
I love her.
I was watching her Vogue 73 questions.
I love those so much.
No, but watch Dua's because... Man, like, I think I'll switch for her, you know?
So she would be like your girl crush.
Like, I would go full gay for her. And I have that I have that on record now. So if she ever is interested in me, I feel like I need to commit.
Dua, if you're out there, if you're listening.
I did interview her when she first came to Singapore years ago.
Was it amazing?
It was amazing. And like, she was so beautiful and so when I was working with MTV, a lot of the stars would come to Singapore at like the early stages of their career. They would do like these global tours to introduce themselves to the media. And so we would catch a lot of these like big stars early on. And she wasn't big yet, but you just knew that she was going to become iconic.
She was gonna be a star.
She was gonna be a star. And she is.
So I want to segue this part of the conversation slightly because we're talking about your celebrity crushes, but I think we also need to touch upon something that has come to my attention recently, which is how you address your Instagram crushes.
Oh.
Okay, so guys,
explain to the people about how creepy I can be.
Hanley has a very masculine approach to messaging people she finds attractive on Instagram where she's not going to follow them. She's not even going to like their posts. She's just going to comment every now and again on their thirst trap material. And I have had the pleasure of occasionally coming across accounts of very attractive men and thinking, yeah, I'll follow that. Only to find a little comment from Hanley Hofer herself with expressions such as, gulps or will love to be a piece of that wood. And genuinely, I have never felt prouder of you as my friend in how unapologetically direct you've been in just letting these men know, knowing they're never going to reply to you.
Hey, you
necessarily
don't know that blue tick goes far.
Okay, maybe they will reply to you, but just staking your claim and being like, you will see me.
Oh god, my cheeks hurt. I just smiled so much. I feel like that's the biggest compliment you've ever given me. Yes, you know when you see hot men online, comment. That's my only advice to you.
I will
make
say
make the game fair, ladies. Guys comment on girls all the time. Girls, comment on the guys.
Put that little fire emoji.
You know, they look good too. Let them kings know.
I do love that more and more men are getting into the thirst trapping on social media. I think it's great because before it was such a woman's game. It was always like women displaying their sexuality in every way they could, and everyone looked beautiful. And then suddenly, and then it was always something for the men to watch. And now we get to watch something.
Oh, yes.
And Hanley gets to
gets to comment,
like, prey on it.
I know. I can be such a freaking man eater online. I seriously like go through these sites, and I'll show my boyfriend in bed next to me, like, baby, look at his beard.
Do this.
And then I'll comment be underneath, like just like the wet emoji.
I've genuinely. I've taken moments now where I'm like, I should screenshot this and just raise this in conversation.
Girls, your homework this week is to comment on a hot guy's picture.
Just do it.
And comment something bold. Don't just be like, cute, smiley face. Comment something like...
eggplant emoji, splash, splash. Yeah.
Take back our power, honeys. It's fun.
I honestly, I see it and I die. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, no, the gulp one that she was referring to, you guys know this guy who's gone a little viral for like just being overtly sexy as he cooks desserts. And he
kneads dough and you're like, I really want to.
He swirls the cream with his finger.
And then he'll like spit.
And he'll like look into the camera with this like cheeky look.
And his strong cheekbones.
Strong so cheekbones.
You know he works the jaw and that's a plus for us.
He eats. So yes, I commented gulp on that. And I will continue to comment. Anyway.
We digress.
I hope your dad still doesn't listen to this podcast, Marissa.
I'm going to be like, Dad, listen to this one.
No.
But that's the vibe check for today.
We're coming with a little nerve today.
Just, it's like that unapologetic arrogance come... Oh. Just, you know, putting yourself out there. Just... making a name for yourself.
So in recent weeks, life has taken us through journeys abroad. We've both been away. It has taken us to journeys within. We've been tested left, right, and center. And so I think it's a good time to talk about the thing that woke culture has sort of buried. And it's the whole notion of being a bigger person, the bigger person, when sometimes in life, you just want to be petty. So I guess the question is, when is it okay to not necessarily be the bigger person? Okay, because I have this theory that this notion of being the bigger person sometimes means sacrificing your self-expression in order to stand up for yourself. So it's sort of like, you know, this whole like toxic positivity, everyone's like, mm-hmm. Be positive, just be positive. It's also like, be the bigger person, just be the bigger person, be better than them. Like, does that mean that you need to sacrifice like your self-integrity to stand up for you? And yeah, I want to break that down.
I think that's what it comes down to is it compromising your own self-respect?
Mm.
And also what your reaction's going to look like. Because I think people mistake taking the high road or being the bigger person as letting the other person get away with their bullshit and just like enduring it and saying, I won't react. Versus setting your boundary and being like, I will not accept this behavior. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because like, think about it. Like every part of us, there is always this inner rage where you just think, oh, I just want to hit them. Or like, I just want to make them suffer the way they're making
Seriously,
me suffer.
Like when your buttons have been pressed and you see red or orange, or for me, like when I get really pissed off, like I feel it in my chest and my throat. Like my throat starts to close off and my chest starts to feel tight. And I literally, it feels like I have this like little gremlin inside of me that is just like, she just wants to claw out. She just wants to rip into that person who tried to hurt me.
I just have to ask, because it is a common theme across our podcast, do your nipples go hard as well? That's the one time they don't go hard.
Also, if you're a first-time listener on this episode.
For context, if Hanley walks into a room, if she sneezes, if she sees someone unfamiliar, like every random scenario, her nipples just suddenly go hard.
Dude, it happened the other day in the club. Like a good song came on. We took a shot and I turned around and I looked at you and I was like, bro, what are these bullets?
I needed to point that out. I needed to just understand.
I have sensitive body, okay?
So rage doesn't...
So rage in a physical sense.
Stiffen your nips.
Don't do that. It don't do that.
But I get what you mean. It's basically like when you're flooded with this primal instinct to just protect, and it's that fight or flight, and your body has clearly chosen fight, and then your rational brain kicks in and goes, no, don't do that. Be measured, be sophisticated, be calm, yeah, be civil. And it's like, well, at one point, like,
does that do a disservice?
Yeah. At the end of the day, was I able to sleep better at night? And right, sometimes I've – okay, so I was put in a recent situation where I felt like I was – my boundaries were crossed. It made me angry, and I responded with anger.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, it took – it firstly, it was interesting because I had – I was trying to be the bigger person. Right. I was trying to be the civil one. And then, like, a certain – line was crossed, and I couldn't be that person anymore. And I stood up for myself, and I stood my ground. And interestingly, afterwards, I felt so shit. Like, I felt like guilty. I felt sad. And like, I was like, what the hell? Why did it make me feel so like down to have to stand up for me, for myself this way? It was really confusing.
I think there's a couple of things in there. Basically, one, you hit breaking point. So suddenly it was just this flood of raw emotion that means you were probably out of, not out of control, but in less control than you usually would be over your behavior. So it's just like a flood of just emotional reactivity. And then the fact that when you really think about it, anger has been painted to us as this really toxic emotion. It's something that we're supposed to contain. So when it does flood out, you'll feel guilty for it.
Yeah, it's true.
But there is healthy anger, right?
From what I learned in therapy, is that me and anger is a complicated relationship. You know what I mean?
I remember angry teenage Hanley.
Oh, God. Guys, like, full disclosure, I was a very scrappy, fiery teenage girl.
Like, if you were embodied in a reality show, it would be Bad Girls Club.
Yeah. Or like, like a little bit of Blair. What do you say was Blair from Gossip Girl?
Oh, just like really conniving?
Ooh.
You weren't conniving, were you? No. You were more just like, define, talk shit, get hit.
Define conniving.
Like, creating situations to make people suffer.
Oh, no, I wasn't conniving.
Yeah, you weren't conniving.
No, I was very was very reactive. For example, I would have no issue going up to you and saying what I wanted. And these days, I don't do that. Not really.
Didn't you spray perfume in someone's face once?
I did. Well, you know what? She was horrible to me.
I do she remember was being she was horrible.
And I just want to clarify, I was never an instigator. I was a
defender.
Because I actually was like, I felt targeted when I was growing up in this like 16 to 19 year old stage, because I always felt like people always had a problem with me, and I actually never went out and caused problems. I was always defending from problems.
Do you feel like that's maybe where some of the anger came from, is just this notion of like, it's unfair because it's undeserved?
And it's so misunderstood.
Yeah.
Like I understood what it was like to have a reputation. I went through being labeled. I had like gossip site. Not site. Actually, no, there was a site.
Social Moth.
There was Social Moth, which was that like anonymous like Facebook app where people can write whatever they want about you. Actually, a group of girls had a Facebook page about me.
That's just toxic.
Yeah. So I can honestly say I went through like a ringer. The ringer in terms of like just horrible teenage female toxic behavior. Yeah. So back then I was super defensive and I felt misunderstood, and it took me to a point where I got like kind of like confrontational, and I got mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like I broke it down with my therapist, and I think that there is a bit of shame attached to how angry I was back then that still carried through with me into adulthood. So when I do get angry these days, and then I do feel sad after, it's almost because when I'm angry, I judge myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, we have done this weird job in our lives of labeling emotions such as anger as bad or good when you're, you know, for the other side. But in fact, emotions should not be labeled at all, and they should just simply be.
Yeah. How those emotions translate into your behavior, that can be good and bad, though.
Yeah.
So, like, in terms of you get angry, how do you channel it? Like, do you go take care of yourself to calm yourself down? Or are you going to go and literally, like, fight someone? Like,
fight?
But I mean, that is a thing, right? Like there have been points in my life where I think back to moments that I wish I was angry. Mm. And I realized about myself is that I've always been fiery. I've always been strong and tough, but like people would describe me as angry. And I thought that was really unfair because I knew that I was never really feeling this rage. I would always feel sadness whenever something negative happened. But then I was like, well, why? And so without me even feeling the anger, but being labeled as angry, if I did feel anger, I was like, oh, I'm ashamed of that because that's what people said I was when it was a negative thing.
I'm living up to this sort of label that I didn't put on myself that others did, and it made you sad. So then when you are angry, this part of you is like, oh, you see, they were right.
Yes. But then at the same time, it's also like seeing situations where I'm being treated unfairly or being taken advantage of or whatever it is and being like, why am I not angry? Why am I feeling sad? Like, why won't I fight my corner? Why am I just letting this play out?
Standing
like,
up for myself.
Exactly. Like, where is that? Because I think this comes with just generally being an annoyingly empathetic person is I can understand how someone's behavior is coming out in the way that it is and why it's targeted towards me. Cause I'm like, oh, they're hurting. I get it.
It's like you understand everyone's wounds and reasons so much that it's hard for you to get mad because you're so understanding.
Isn't that so shit?
Yeah.
Like that's when I want to be petty.
Yeah.
Like that's when I want to not understand it to that level so I can just be like, fuck you.
Like, just have don't your, do that most shit. Honest, authentic expression.
Yeah.
Because I'm that's
like,
the
oh,
thing.
I get it. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, so you're talking about in high school, girls targeted you. There was a whole mean girl thing going. And I actually remember that. Like, we weren't that close, but I knew that you were a social target. But then for me, it was, I had the person I considered to be my best friend drumming up lies about me. And then like when she ended up going to the same university I did, continuing those lies and turning people against me. And like my dumb empathetic ass was like, she's clearly going through a lot of psychological struggles right now. And so I will hold her hand while she does this shit to me to make sure that she fares okay. And it didn't matter how I fared. So I was like, well, where's my self-respect? Mm. Like, why aren't I standing up for myself here? I did eventually. But even after I drew that line, I was still holding her hand through her bullshit.
It's like two ends of the sword, right? It's like, in a very weird sense, like I became hyper-protective of myself to the point where I just got very confrontational. And you were so empathetic that somewhere along the way, you like couldn't, you weren't angry at all.
Exactly. It would have been healthier for me to have become angry and to have been pettier.
And to have processed that.
Exactly. Because I would have drawn the line harder and faster and I didn't.
I always feel that whatever the situation when you're feeling with your emotions, it's always better to express. And even if there's a risk that you overexpress and things get a little chaotic, you can always take a step back and like do the work and apologize and communicate down than it is to not express at all and keep that shit pent up. And so coming back to this bigger person thing, right? Like if the bigger person role means that you don't express your needs and your frustrations, then fuck being the bigger person.
Yeah, that's not healthy because that isn't actually being the bigger person. That's what we think being the bigger person is. Mm-hmm. When actually it's about being able to communicate your boundaries and have that person understand in like a calm and peaceful and civilized manner without actually compromising yourself rather than being like, I'm just going to let this slide and not look at this. Because listen, some people deserve to get served. Like,
and it's okay that it happens. Like so coming back to the situation recently that I found myself in, it resulted in me sending a monologue of firm messages. You saw them. I showed them to you. They weren't mean.
No, they weren't mean. They were just angry. Firm, they were direct.
Direct, yeah. Right? And like after I said that, I felt guilty and everything. And I'm still like processing and telling myself that it's okay that I did that. That it's okay that I sent that if it meant that I was standing ground and protecting myself.
Yeah. It's setting a boundary. And the thing is that, like, yeah, your messages were very direct. They weren't malicious. They weren't harmful.
Oh, but trust me, I definitely had to, like, rewrite it, like, 5 times.
But that's the thing,
right? I took out all the fucks. I took out all, like, the petty insults.
But that's the thing.
You know when you write it out and then you reread it, you're like, ooh, let me just delete that.
But that's exactly it. Like, you let yourself feel all of that rage and you expressed it, but then it wasn't the thing that you threw at the person. Like, you processed the anger before you decided what your next move was. I think that's healthy.
My anger processing, this is my ritual, my anger ritual.
What is your anger ritual?
The angry ritual. Okay, we all have it. Like, what do we do when we start to get, like, mad? I start to move around. Like, I can't sit. I stand up and I start, like, walking around my entire apartment or space. And I seriously break out into full, like, reality show level-esque monologue. I'm, like, looking into the reflection of myself. I'm, like, delivering speeches to myself as if it was the person that I want to say it to. Sometimes I'll catch myself and be like, oh, that's good.
So you're, like, in the confessional of a reality TV show where you're speaking direct to camera and being this bitch.
Yeah, I'm main character moment. Like, I'm just literally, like...
So you're both the narrator and the main character in one and being like, damn, look at her. You're having an out-of-body experience.
I'm, like, I'm connecting with the audience on all the walls.
Let's break this fourth wall.
Yeah, I'm just like monologuing left, right, and center. I'm being over dramatic. And that's my process.
Oh man, mine is not that process. I don't feel the anger until I have a very delayed reaction with anger. Like, it'll genuinely be, I don't know, 48 hours. And I'll think back to the situation and be like, wait just a goddamn minute. What? We just accepted what?
Yeah.
Because at the time, like I said, I start off being sad where I'll do the whole, we've discussed it before in a former episode, I'll stand in the mirror and just be like, we're just
so you'll be
cry.
Sad first.
I'm sad immediately. Like, I'm not proud of it, but there's just this bit of me that's like a bit self-pitying where I'm like, why did you let this happen to yourself? Like, how did you let people do this to you? And then I'm sad for a bit and like I'll cry in the mirror and then I'll just be like, okay, pull your shit together. I was like, we got this. And then, I mean, my anger doesn't process very healthy. Like, I'll feel the anger. If I do start shouting, say it's like in a fight with someone, I'm not the kind to throw insults or try like be mean about it, but I kind of hit this weird, like, I have the red mist, but my thought process is so clear that I will be the clearest in my expression as I could possibly be. Like, you will not be able to misunderstand me.
You kind of
me.
Go, like, sociopath, like, clarity level, yeah. Where, like, I will explain everything to a T in a calm manner.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, I just got shivers.
So there's if I shout, right, there's no way out. Like, you will just have to sit and listen.
Oh my God.
And then the other opposite, like the opposite end of that spectrum is, and this is, there's that which is just anger and like rage. But when it's like fury, my voice just goes real deadpan. And I'm like, you're going to listen to me.
Can you not look me in the eyes as you say this? I'm so uncomfortable right now.
Because someone asked me, they're like, oh, how, like, what does anger look like for you? I was like, well, if it's fury, like, we're going down to a growl. And I was like, if you push this any farther, we will have a much bigger problem.
What does fury look like to me? Oh, you know what? Actually, I got to say, I think for me, when I hit level of fury, I disengage. I literally leave because I'm like, I cannot spend another minute engaging with this.
So you're like, I don't want to tolerate this anymore.
It's almost like this part of me is like, I need to remove myself from the situation because being around it, like, cannot tahan. Like, I literally cannot be here right now, so I will leave. Like, I will walk out. It's not running away. It's actually for everyone's
own. Oh, no. I think knowing when to exit is a healthy way to process your anger. Because it means you can acknowledge that you're feeling it, but being like, this is not the place to express
and
it.
And then as I walk off, I'll, like, jump straight back into that main character monologue. And you'll see me, like, walking out
the
house.
Sass walking?
You'll see my hands flailing around, like,
but I feel like... There are so many situations where you look back and you just think, I would have done that so differently had I understood how to harness my anger in that moment.
Mm.
Like, for example, my work thing. Like, we haven't discussed this before in the episode, but in a past job very recently, I was essentially being bullied in the workplace by someone senior to me to the extent that they were actively making the effort to destroy both my career and my reputation. and I hadn't done anything wrong. There was a misunderstanding that was clarified, like, on a professional front, all lights were green. I was good, but she was not happy with that. So she went out of her way, and her rage was to try and destroy me.
Like, that's conniving.
But that's toxic anger.
Mm.
Like, you can be unhappy with something and then learn how to process it, but to basically go out of your way to punish someone else, to make them feel hurt when they don't actually deserve hurt just because it's how you want to process your anger, that's fucking toxic. And then I decided to take the high road, right? I was like, I will not stoop to this level. I'm going to deal with the situation professionally. I'm going to speak to the people I need to, clear my name, just to the extent that, you know, I'm not going to have, like, I needed to clean my name. Well, I needed to preserve.
Yeah, and also, like, and our discussions about anger right now, I feel like it cannot be applied to the workplace at all.
No.
Yeah. Because their professionalism, unfortunately, is this, like, giant shield that just needs to, like, block everything just for the sake of civil sake.
Civility.
Yeah.
So I wasn't allowed to be petty. And the thing is that, like, I can't be petty because I was effectively junior, but I was watching her be petty and being like, because she's in a position of power, I just have to kind of sit and take it. And it was awful because I was like, I'm being punished for not having done wrong. So I did everything I could that was within my power, which was to basically ensure that other people understood the situation from all sides so they could make their own judgments. And then I managed to exit that situation intact, and I had burns, but she came away unscathed. Like, she did all of this, orchestrated everything she could to destroy me professionally, and I survived, but I never got justice.
Yeah, and you also never got to deliver your monologue.
I never got to deliver.
Yeah.
I never got to just sit her down and be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Because you had to, in a professional sake, be the bigger person. And that's when this notion of being the bigger person fucked you.
So there's two ways to think it. One, it didn't fuck me because
No, it didn't, because you actually came out, like, and you managed, and your work is now sailing smooth. And actually, I dare say you're in a better position.
I am in a better position.
Yeah. But what I mean, like, fucked you is because this shit has haunted you.
Yeah. It was intense. Like, it was 3 months. I remembered crying a lot. I went back on anti-anxiety medication. I went to therapy again because I was just struggling to cope with, like, how I could have not done any wrong but be punished this hard for it.
Mm.
And I do think, and I had said it before, that, like, I was proud of the fact that at no point did I compromise my integrity to escape the situation. Like, I owned up to everything that I was responsible for and nothing else. And so in that, I was proud of myself. But it was just that, like, I never got that emotional outlet. I never got to confront it directly. All I did was try and survive and make the best situation I could for myself. But I never got to address the perpetrator.
Mm.
And, like, I don't know if I would, but then, I mean, we've already discussed it. Like, my long game is to eventually become her boss. So
you have a long-term vengeance plan.
Mm.
And it will happen because, you know, we are manifesting badasses. But, I mean, damn, I'm currently not going through a situation where I have leftover resentment in to the degree that you have. And girl, it just makes my back tense thinking about it.
Yeah. Like I said before, and I kind of want to put it on a t-shirt. The thing that they don't tell you about the high road is that it's uphill. So it's going to take you more effort. But I don't think you ever regret taking the high road.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I do.
Really?
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest with you. Sometimes, because, okay, and this is just, like, to back this, like, in general, one of my values is authenticity.
Sure.
And I am an openly expressive person.
So authentically, you want to be a bitch.
No, as in, like,
that's okay.
No, because if the high road, I so value open self-expression that, like, if the high road means that I suppress any of that, then that's not the high road to me, you know?
I understand that.
I guess, okay, maybe I got to redefine what high road bigger person looks like. But yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, yeah. I don't know if I fully agree with that.
Because it's like what we said before is we have this misunderstanding of what the high road is. And it's not drawing your boundaries. It's kind of expressing what they are, but also managing yourself between. But then, I don't know. Because I bounce back and forth with this because as someone I know, like I get really delayed emotional reactions to stuff. There's always points where I'm like, oh, I just wish I could have just indulged in my rage.
Let me tell you a little bit about what I think this has got to do with, right? I think that the topic that is kind of weaving into what we've been discussed, something we haven't brought up yet, is this thing that we all do from time to time. Everyone is guilty of it, and it is people-pleasing.
And
the reason we people please in general is because we have this very human core wound that wants to just be liked and accepted by our community. It's like the most natural thing ever. So sometimes when we are the bigger person, what we're actually doing without realizing is we're people pleasing. But I think like in the bigger journey towards self-love and self-acceptance, you don't want to people please. You want to please yourself first always. And if that internal conflict needs to be like, you know, spun around and broken just so we like really understand that to redefine like the high road or the bigger person concepts, it should just be that at the end of the day, are you going to be happy with yourself for the way that you stood up for yourself?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like there's a happy medium though. Because like I've had times where I've sat with someone and just been really clear and being like, you pissed me off. Like, I've been angry at you for like the last 3 days. But then being able to explain it in a way that helps them understand the situation from my angle. And then so that they would apologize to me, which makes me feel better because it makes me feel like I didn't take the high road. Like, in taking the high road, they understood where I was coming from. Like, I didn't let them get away with anything. I didn't ignore what my problems were. But then, I don't know. It's just that, like, that.
You can definitely reach a middle. You can definitely, like, of course we can. We're all capable of communicating through conflict and seeking to understand, like, intentionally sitting down when there's a problem with the intention to seek understanding in order to resolve. That for sure, like, that's totally possible.
Okay. But so in those situations, the great part is that you probably say this as a friend, you're probably going to end up coming to a point being like, you know, we're still good. Like, we need to solve this shit out, but ultimately we're still going to be fine. But then the rage I feel is really warranted when that person just goes, no, I don't agree. Like if they've disrespected you and you're like, I felt disrespected. And they were like, no.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Or it's like when people are like, when people demand an apology, like when you want someone to apologize, but they're not ready to apologize, and you're like, just say sorry, you psycho. And they're like, I'm not ready.
Are you good at apologizing?
I'm realizing that I'm not.
Interesting.
Yes, I'm fully noticing this about myself because I am not good at apologizing through my words. Mm-hmm. You know?
So you kind of, so it's like, we're just going to act real nice around you until
eventually. No, I am a grand gesture apology.
What does that mean? You send him a bouquet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Genuinely. Like, well, I will. It is, but that's the thing. Like, I'm going through something right now, and actually, we should totally talk about this in another episode. But for me to sit down and say sorry is not enough for me because words for me to like deliver words as an apology does not match the sorriness that I feel. In order to show my apology, I need to do more than that. I need to have a grand gesture attached to it.
Okay. So it's kind it's of like love language, but for apologies.
Yeah.
And so yours would be giving gifts.
It would be time spent, acts of service, and gifting.
Interesting. So for me, an important one as an apology is I need it verbal. I need you to be able to articulate what you're sorry about. I need to really and fully understand why you're sorry.
But that's your receiving sorry.
Yeah.
What about your saying sorry?
It's the same. Like if I feel I've committed fault or I feel like I need to hold myself accountable for something, I hate, like it does turn my stomach. Like, it makes me super anxious to do, but I will sit with the person and be like, I'm sorry for this, this and this. Like I know I fucked up there.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I mean, like I would write a letter. I'd write an apology letter. Is that words still? It's like I would write a letter and then like read it out to them in front of them because I can't, because I like in such a moment of vulnerability, I'm still working on like being able to like truly speak from the heart in the moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I'm waking up to it. I'm like gaining more awareness around it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I was to like really just sit down on, to be honest, and like say sorry, like I'm not good at it yet that I wouldn't believe myself.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I get and that's you. Why I need the backing of like gestures and like letters and gifts to really show it, just because I don't trust my voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I'm the opposite in that regard. Like I a letter, sure, but I feel like I would even need to back up a letter with being like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't take well to gifts, just because I'd be like, this is a plaster on a bullet wound.
Like, oh, yeah, right?
Like, I'm just like, you're trying to mask over by sweetening me back up. And I don't connect with it. Like, for me, and I know why it's authentic to you, but for me, it feels inauthentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I'm going through a little thing with my boyfriend now where I was like, can I, like, buy you something? He was like, no. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it. Because if someone, if I say I fought with a partner and they were like, oh, here's, I don't know, a bracelet to say sorry, I'd be like, fuck your bracelet. Like,
give me the bracelet.
What if it had a heart on it?
No. Ew, keep your heart-shaped jewelry.
I just, because I feel like I'm trying to, it's like buying an apology to me.
Yes.
It doesn't, I don't connect with it at all.
People have different roots of love languages.
Apology languages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, it is an interesting one to learn, because then it's like when you have your rage, and when you finally calm down, and then you have to apologize for that rage because, say, it got a little out of hand, say it got a little bit primal. I don't know.
So you, I literally, like,
so
I will,
you broke something.
Okay, so I will, like, explode, walk out, come back with, like, flowers, chocolate, and a smile.
Hi!
Man, I am difficult, huh?
I have said before, I could not date you.
I don't know. I couldn't date me either.
But then I think it's so important, though, because, like, apologies can also be toxic.
Ugh.
Like, okay, that's a whole other episode.
Oh, like, I thought we got somewhere. Like, apologies can be toxic. What?
Well, because sometimes, like, say there's a really big argument. I feel like if you apologize to mask a deeper discussion that has to be had, that's toxic. So if say you and I got into a physical fight because there was a lot of tension brewing, and finally we just both snapped. And then we were both like, sorry.
Yeah.
But
no,
then
no.
glazed past it, and you and I never spoke of what was leading our frustrations. Then I don't think that's genuine.
It's also because the thing about apology is that timing is so key, isn't it? Because it's like you need to be at a place where you're ready to accept, and they're also ready to apologize, but that time can be different for both parties.
True.
I've had a situation where this previous friend of ours was taking her time to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But that was because she was, that was her process. But on the receiving end, we were like, she hasn't spoke, she hasn't apologized yet.
Right.
She hasn't, how dare, and actually made it worse.
Right.
To like, how come she's silent?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, like, the window for her apologies, like, kind of closed.
So it was a statute of limitations.
Yeah, and then suddenly she comes and she was like, I'm sorry. And we were like, dude, it's kind of late. It's been so long.
Yeah.
So but it's not, like,
would you accept
sweet
it,
spot.
Though?
Huh?
Would you accept it, though?
Yes, but it's, like, but now it would need so much more communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's another layer.
Yeah,
and it was another layer added to the
shit. Because, again, it's your apology languages, right?
Yeah.
And, like, they're not compatible.
So maybe this is something that we can all do for the people we care about. Like, before it actually becomes something that we need to navigate through anger and apology, maybe we need to sit down with our friends and our loved ones and our partners and just be like, what do you do when you're angry?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need when you are angry? And then what do you need from me? What, like, how do you express? And then when you need an apology or when you are ready to apologize, what are your needs?
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, get it so communicated when everyone is leveled.
Mm.
So when it does happen, at least we have a bit more of, like, a guide.
But I do also think that so few people, I mean, we've been talking about it, and I feel like in this conversation, we've learned about how we actually process it more than maybe we understood coming into this recording,
mm-hmm.
right? So I feel like, I think a lot of people wouldn't know what the answer is. But I do also think as you get closer to your other relationships, you start to notice that pattern in them, and then you can adjust accordingly, right? Like, you can almost read it for them, be like, okay, they're having this meltdown, which means the next steps are this, this, and this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, so guys, is it okay if I, you know, give you some homework? talk to the people you love about their needs when it comes to anger and sadness. And number two, go comment on a hot guy's photo.
I have still trolled looking for more. And I may have also told a couple other girlfriends that you do this. So they are also on the hunt.
Bringing
and also,
this back to the start.
They are now also following all of those accounts too.
Oh, God.
I don't follow them. I just occasionally browse. They're top of my search history.
Oh, no, I follow them.
No, you don't.
No, I'm going to start. I'm going to start following them.
Referral program. Just send more my way.
Cool. All right, guys. As usual, as this topic was a little deeper.
Heavier.
We'd love to know your thoughts on your process, your needs. Do you agree with what we're saying about the high road and the bigger person? Do you disagree? Hey, let us know. Always open for chats. Yeah, I think this is a great time to cool down. And Marissa, any final words?
Don't get mad. Get even.
Okay. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.